News Team coverage. 94.9 WSJM News Now.
This is the WSJM Week in Review podcast for the week ending October 13th, 2017. I'm Michael Arnick. Ben Harper voters have a big decision to make next month. They're being asked to approve a city income tax. Mayor Marcus Muhammad telling WSJM News it would raise about $2 million a year for much-needed work around the city.
For those that are saying there's no plan, there's no clear-cut or concise way the money will be used, we've stated streets, alleys, sidewalks, and emergencies.
City tried for an income tax in 2013. Muhammad tells us it failed by a very thin vote margin. He thinks the need is even more stark now.
Failed in 2013, which is 4 years ago, and we can see the rapid decline and deterioration in just 4 years.
It's actually 1% for those who live in the city, a half percent for non-residents who work in Benton Harbor. How it will be collected is something they're still working on. Muhammad said the city could work with businesses for it to be taken right out of paychecks, or it could be paid at tax time. There are several other cities in Michigan with their own income taxes, including Grand Rapids, Albion, Battle Creek, Lansing, Muskegon, Port Huron, and Walker. St. Joseph City Commissioners hoping that people in the city make their voices heard to state lawmakers when it comes to new zoning legislation. There's a plan in the State House and Senate to strip a community's ability to restrict short-term rentals. St. Joseph Commissioners on Monday warned that such a plan, if it goes through, would mean out-of-control summer vacation homes in town, something they've been working to avoid for years. City Commissioner Jeff Richards says neighborhoods will sit empty for half the year when that happens, and the schools will suffer.
It's my opinion that anybody that would be in favor of these bills are anti-neighborhood.
Richards wants people to make their voices heard.
I will not vote for anybody that would be in support of this bill. It takes local authority away. It's not good for communities.
Commissioners suggest having a word with State Senator John Prose, as he sits on a committee that's going to be considering the plan. Michigan Realtors Association, which is a real estate lobbying group, is pushing for it, saying property rights are being infringed by local governments banning short-term rentals. Everything went according to planned protocols in the lockdown at Coloma High School and Junior High. That's according to Superintendent Pete Bush, who tells us teachers hold regular drills for lockdown scenarios and they knew just what to do when students reported another student had accidentally dropped a gun. Bush says it happened at a gym and the teacher was the first to act.
Situation that she needed to intervene in, and once she was able to identify the student, get the student to the office, we were in a position where we could better identify what protocol we needed to put in place based on what she had witnessed or what students had witnessed.
Bush says he sent out regular voice messages to parents, let them know what was happening. Police were called in, students were kept in their classrooms, the place was searched, no gun was ever found. The student in question is not being allowed back into class until police are done with their investigation. A covert man says the shooting of his girlfriend earlier this month was an accident. Jeffrey Howell was arraigned this week on a charge of assault with intent to murder. He told the judge during his hearing that he would never hurt his girlfriend, Guadalupe Hernandez. She has broken up with him, says their relationship is now over. She also admitted to grabbing the gun right as it discharged into her midsection. 50-year-old Howell has a criminal record, legally should have never been in possession of the weapon. Due to that, bond was set at $1 million. Congressman Fred Upton is expecting bump stocks to be banned quickly. Those are devices allowing a semi-automatic weapon to be made automatic. It was used by the Las Vegas massacre shooter. Upton telling Michigan's Big Show this week he thinks there's enough will in Congress to make sure bump stocks get outlawed.
I didn't know about bump stocks literally until 2 days after the event. And then not only am I signing a letter to the president and to the BATF that they need to reexamine this thing, I'm also going to be a co-sponsor of legislation to ban them.
He says if Congress doesn't want to do it, the ATF can. In fact, Upton tells us it was an ATF decision in 2010 that legalized them. He's expecting a letter from Congress to be sent to very, very soon. Cook Nuclear Power Plant and Barry and Risa teaming up for an effort to teach local kids about nuclear power. Cook's Irene Weaver tells us they're holding an art contest with students grades K through 12. Hooking teachers up with information on nuclear power in the community.
We're just asking the kids to make a poster, any kind of poster they want with any crayons or markers, anything they want to do. The theme is, what does nuclear mean to me?
Weaver tells us there are a lot of Berrien County kids with parents working at nuclear plants, or at least they know somebody who does. As a result, Cook and Risa believe they should know what nuclear power is all about. Cook staff will pick winners in four categories. The winners will get gift cards. Discussions are underway on the possibility of creating a new district library for St. Joseph and St. Joseph Township. The two already use the same facility in downtown St. Joe, but City Manager John Hodgson tells us the library might benefit if a joint authority were created that has taxing power.
Not being in control of your income, but being required to take care of your expenses is a terrible position to be in. Creating an authority would create a single body with responsibility for going to the citizens of its entire service area to obtain the revenues that it needs to provide the services the community desires.
On Monday, city commissioners said they would want any district library agreement to include a revert clause for the property, meaning if the library would ever move, its current property would still be owned by the city. That could be a problem for the township. Two bodies, though, will continue talking. He's been the state consent agreement consultant for Benton Harbor Area School since February of 2016, and now he's getting ready to retire. Don Weatherspoon, who's also the state's consent agreement consultant with Pontiac Schools, is stepping down at the end of this month. He's helped Benton Harbor Schools Board of Education stay in the state's good graces, with the district recently facing possible closure. Weatherspoon told us they've risen to the task, have the Board of Education trustees.
I believe things have improved very much so, and I think you see improved attitude in terms of being accountable. I think you're seeing that the Department of Education is investing trust in the district.
Weatherspoon says the financial side of things greatly improved, with the deficit down several million in the past 2 years. Now the goal is student proficiency. A new consent agreement consultant, Paul Cotters, will now come in, appointed by the Michigan Department of Education. School Board thanked Weatherspoon this week for enduring its many meetings. Governor Rick Snyder has signed a bill from State Representatives Dave Pagel and Kim Lasada closing a property tax loophole that they say has hurt many Southwest Michigan school districts. Lasada tells us an out-of-state homeowner would be claiming a vacation home in Michigan as a homestead, and that gives them a lower tax rate.
What they can do is just say, oh, I made a mistake, and then go back and make up, you know, the taxes that they were supposed to have paid.
Issue was brought to the attention of Pagel and Lasada by Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski. He spends a lot of time chasing those taxpayers down. With the loophole in place, Lasada says homeowners could often just fix their mistake without being penalized. The bill automatically removes the homestead status of a property owned by somebody claiming a homestead in another state. The governor signed the bill on Wednesday. Michigan's chief medical officer could be facing an involuntary manslaughter charge connected to the Flint water crisis. Special Prosecutor Todd Flood is seeking the charge against Dr. Eden Wells. Wells is already charged with lying to an investigator and obstruction of justice.
We'd be derelict if we didn't charge, or amend, I should say.
Flood also wants to charge her with misconduct in office. As we mentioned, at her hearing this week in Flint, it was adjourned to November 6th. Charges from the Legionnaires' disease outbreak, which Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette's office says the Snyder administration officials knew about, or at least a month before they told the public in January 2016. Well, there's good news if you're a wine fan of Southwest Michigan grapes. Unseasonably warm, dry weather, producing a bountiful harvest, according to St. Julian Winery's Vice President and winemaker, Nancy Oxley.
By having no rain and this gorgeous hot weather, it's actually ripening the grapes along quite nicely. We're about 2 weeks ahead of where we were last year on average for when we're bringing in our varietals at the winery.
Same hot and dry weather, though, impacting yields for field crops like corn and soybeans. That was obviously before the weekend's rain. Michigan State University Extension says farms that aren't irrigated won't have as much of a crop as in years past. State of Michigan is now seeking private companies to operate concessions at state parks.
Ron Olson from the Department of Natural Resources says possibilities range from food service to renting boats or bikes and operating campground stores, and concessionaires can enter into a contract lasting up to 7 years. Those interested in submitting bids are expected to have prior business experience and adequate cash to fund the concession of their choice. Nearly a dozen parks and recreational areas across the state have openings, including Belle Isle Park in Detroit and Burt Lake State Park in Indian River. For more information, contact the DNR at mi.gov/DNR. Jim Matthews, Michigan News Network.
An effort made this September by breweries around the area to raise money for Feeding America West Michigan, resulting in $45,000 going to fight hunger. Feeding America West Michigan's Sean Little tells us Hopes Against Hunger involves dozens of brewers who held fundraisers, sometimes for one day, sometimes for several. You know, hunger is a big problem in the area.
1 in 8 individuals are struggling with food insecurity in Michigan, and that looks about 1 in 5 for children. And so, you know, depending on where people are located, those numbers are going to be higher or less than. But essentially, you're talking about 15% of our population.
Breweries, including The Livery, Greenbush Brewing, Watermark Brewing Company, took part in Hops Against Hunger. Little tells us they'll definitely do it again next year. A new plan introduced in the State House to require a balanced state budget by July 1st every year. State Rep. Beth Griffin of Mattawan is a sponsor, tells us it's essential for many communities to know what they're going to get in the coming fiscal year from the state.
Schools and local governments both rely on state funding to operate. So in order for them to effectively plan for their budget, we have to do our part by setting that budget on July 1st so that then they can operate effectively.
Under the resolution, if lawmakers don't approve a balanced budget by July 1st every year, they won't get paid until it's done. The plan will be referred to the House Appropriations Committee. If it's approved by two-thirds of the House and Senate, it would go before voters as a constitutional amendment. Google is planning to move its offices from Birmingham in the suburbs to downtown Detroit. No location set yet. The internet giant has also not set a time frame for that move. Spokesman Patrick Vladehan says the time is right given the resurgence of the core of the Motor City.
There's just a lot of energy and innovation and excitement, hard work happening there, and we think we have a lot we can learn from Detroit.
Google is planning to keep its Ann Arbor office open. The company will move about 100 employees from Birmingham to Motown for the new office. It'll have a focus on automotive advertising. And Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan accusing some trial lawyers of skimming the no-fault car insurance system while others are supporting his efforts in the State House to reduce insurance rates.
Part of the reason why there's been such a delay over no-fault car insurance over the years is the trial lawyers. They have never signed off on the substance of what Mike Duggan wants to do. He dismisses them as in two groups, trial lawyers that are with him and those who are against him.
Then there's a group of trial attorneys who are just suing the driver's own insurance company and skimming a third of the medical payments off the top for the rest of their lives. Those people are against the bill.
Tim Skubick for the Michigan News Network.
And that's the week that was for October 13th, 2017. In the WSJM newsroom, I'm Michael Arney.